Welcome to Let's Talk Brock.
All right. Welcome to this episode of the Let's Talk Brock podcast. Today, I am joined by local entrepreneur, coffee connoisseur, and Brock alumni, Chris Battagli. Chris is the co-founder of 416 Coffee Co., a local grab-and-go coffee shop right here in the Niagara region, which he started with his father. So talk about a father-son duo. He also graduated from Brock University with a Bachelor's of Business Administration in 2018. So thank you so much for joining with us, Chris. How are you today?
Man, thanks for having me. Doing good. Just flying off caffeine as usual.
Perfect. I guess that makes sense. 416 Coffee. That means your coffee's good.
That's it. Yeah, I hope so.
Perfect. All right, let's jump right into it. To be honest with you, you are the first person that I've met in the coffee industry. So I think that's pretty cool. But I just wanted to ask you, how did 416 Coffee come into existence and how did you get into the coffee industry?
Yeah, so it starts with my dad. So my dad was a mechanic by trade. And then he had went to Italy for a while. When he came back, he was servicing espresso machines. So Carm was servicing espresso machines. And then his cousin was actually roasting coffee in Toronto for one of like the old school kind of Italian roasters up there. So he then had the opportunity to start roasting his own coffee. So Carm at first was buying other people's coffee and like rebranding it and selling it. And then this is like in the 90s. And then he was roasting on other people's equipment. So he was like buying green coffee, roasting it somewhere else, and selling it that way. And then he had the opportunity finally to buy his own roasting equipment. And that's when he started roasting coffee. So then he ran a business roasting coffee until about 2008. He was dealing a lot with the United States. So when the 08 kind of financial collapse happened there, he had a bunch of commercial clients that went out of business overnight. Some of them owed him, you know, $5,000-$10,000. So the bad debts pretty much just put him in a bad spot financially. So he was like, kind of forget this, closed down the coffee roasting business, and then went and did kind of his own stuff. But he took the coffee roaster and some of like the major equipment, put it into storage. So I grow up kind of around coffee until 2008, like when I'm in grade 8, grade 9. And then I go to Brock. I'm kind of know I want to do something entrepreneurial. I'm like drop shipping. I run a little marketing agency. I'm kind of doing all like the hustles. And I tell my dad, I'm like, hey, I think there's an opportunity for specialty coffee in Niagara. No one's doing it. We should start roasting coffee here. So we kind of keep the name 416 Coffee, like a nod to how Carm started, because Carm was roasting coffee up in Toronto. That's how we started. We started just with a factory on Wright Street in St. Catharines, like one unit, super small. And we just did exclusively online and wholesale at that point. And that was 7 years ago now. So 2015. Yeah. So I was like in second year.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So that's so cool that you found the opportunity and kind of went with what your father's interests were, working for them, but found the opportunity and found the marketplace to grow it up. That's so cool.
Yeah, I looked at it like there was massive barriers to entry. So I knew that if we jumped in there, I knew that I wasn't going to be flooded with direct competitors. Yeah. So that was kind of something I looked at, as like building kind of a moat. I also looked at coffee as an interesting product, because We could do the retail play. We could do the food and beverage play, consumer packaged goods online, direct consumer. It had a lot of kind of use cases.
Yeah.
So yeah, with one core product, we could run a variety of kind of different models inside of it. Mm-hmm. So that's why coffee was exciting to me.
That's awesome. So, and you kind of answered the question, that I guess second question I want to ask, but have you always had an entrepreneurial spirit since you were young, or was it something that kind of came out afterwards by opportunity or by kind of doors knocking?
No, I think I used to, so when I was really young, I used to race cars. So I grew up racing like kart, and then I raced Formula 2000 across the United States for a couple of years when I was in high school. Yeah. So
that's cool.
It was good times. Yeah. So I love racing, and we were not a wealthy family or anything. So I was like very dependent on sponsors, which is why I eventually just ran out of money to do it. But I remember when I'd go to these races and I was like at the same events as like Nick Latifi, like some of these guys are racing F1 now, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was at these events and all the kids that were ridiculously wealthy, everyone's family owned a business. Like it was very apparent to me that like the level of wealth that I, at the time I thought I wanted to create was only possible through ownership of something. I wasn't going to make that kind of money working somewhere, maybe in investment banking, but other than that, there was no other way to make that level of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I thought about a lot. And I also just realized at a young age, I was incapable of working for people for long periods of time. So those two things kind of coalesced. And I also, my dad, watching him, even when he wasn't successful as an entrepreneur, even when he had struggles, he was always happy. He was always like ready to go after the next challenge. So that was something that helped me too. So yeah, I think to answer your question, I think I for a long time knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
That's good. And I think it does help to really see it since you were a young age and come to that realization. So it's pretty cool that at that age, you already kind of made that mind to say, I'm doing this, and you're successful at it too. So that's great to see.
Yeah, so far so good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next question. Now you are a business administration major. You graduated from Brock with a BBA degree. I want to take you back to grade 12, Chris, figuring out what he wants to do, figuring out what school he wants to go to. What made you come to Brock specifically? Because a lot of most Ontario universities do offer some sort of a business program. What was it about Brock that really stood out to you and made you want to come here?
Yeah, so obviously, like, number one, I was local, so that was a big part of it. I lived at home when I went to school. The other thing was Brock's business program was obviously highly accredited. So it was like I was able to go to a business school and not really lose any kind of, like, prestige with the curriculum or anything like that. It was a highly accredited school. I was able to get into the co-op stream, so that was cool. Brock's a great school as far as like campus and everything goes. So it was pretty straight up. It was number one to save money. And it wasn't like I was losing out on anything. It's one of the best undergrad for business, like in Ontario.
Makes sense. I'm biased as well. I'm an accounting student. So I can vouch that Goodman is a very good school.
Exactly. So, man,
where did you do your co-ops, if I may ask?
So I did two of them with 4-on-6 Coffee.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
And then one of them I did with the Foster Festival, which was, it was a paid marketing role there. Which was cool. I got to learn a lot about like the theater industry, which was totally different. You know, we were trying to market to like senior citizens, like completely out of my wheelhouse of like, you know, let's make Instagram content. You know what I mean? Totally different experience. So really valuable though. And I had a good time, great people there too. So yeah, those were my co-ops. So I did two with the business. And then I think it was the first one I had done outside with the Foster Festival.
That's cool. So I'm guessing outside of the co-op experience, what are, let's say, your top three other highlights from your time at Brock or the Goodman School of Business? Like, were there any experiential education classes? Or were there any other opportunities that you had which really stuck to you and really helped you with your career moving forward?
Yeah, so I think two things. So number one, most importantly, I had a consumer behavior class in fourth year. I can't even remember the prof's name. She was a G though. And she had taught me about the reciprocity effect and about Robert Cialdini, who's I actually got his book right here. Hold up. If anyone's watching this, book right here.
Influence.
This book, Influence. This is what you need to market. So anyways, so I remember she had talked about some of his work and she had taught us about the reciprocity effect, which is pretty much like if you give someone something for free, they're going to be more interested in doing business with you. It's kind of like the Lindor chocolate at the store effect, stuff like that, right? The free sample. So I then actually leveraged, it was actually a TSN turning point in 416 Coffee because of this learning. Because when we just had the factory, we had this old espresso machine in the front. Mm-hmm. The factory is on Wright Street, which for anyone watching doesn't know, it's like the middle of nowhere. So we gave away free coffee to get people to come to the factory. So people could come in and get unlimited free beverages. And then when they were there, we would educate them on what we do, tell them we were there, sell bags. So I ran Facebook ads, free coffee, sold bags of coffee. And that was it. I remember like we had this factory like packed of people driving and coming to check us out, getting coffee and stuff like that. So, and then because we did that, we were able to cultivate a market and open up our first store in Port Dalhousie. And then obviously now we have a store in Grimsby as well. And but we were able to do that because of something I learned in her class. So I can't even remember her name, but shout out to her.
That's cool. And I think it also helps the community as well, because now all of a sudden you've created a whole bunch of foot traffic in some place where the foot traffic maybe didn't exist much before. So even greater effect in that sense too.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. So that was probably the most valuable thing, mm-hmm. that course. I mean, I had another Tanzu Barker. I took a course called business to business marketing with him. Mm-hmm. And I remember that course was foundational because I was trying to sell coffee as a business to business product. Mm-hmm. Because at that time we were exclusively business to business and online. So I'm taking this course with him. And as I'm taking this course with him, I don't know at what specific point, but at some point it dawned on me that I was not selling a business to business product. I was selling a consumer packaged good product, and it just happened to be in a business to business environment. Mm-hmm. And that like, it broke all of my frameworks for how to think about the product. So that was massively important for me as well. So shout out to Tanzu Barker. Yeah, honestly, I had a good time at Brock, like from an educational perspective and from a social perspective. So yeah, definitely.
That's good.
Positive overall. Yeah.
And it seems that the concentration in marketing, you could take a lot of that, what you learned, and actually apply it to the actual business, which is really good. And to know it worked as well. Now, and so as I read in the Brock article that was up and you've been talking about it now, you were juggling school and working at 416 Coffee together. So how did you do that? Because I mean, just studying is more than enough, but you're doing two things at once.
Yeah, I mean, at the time it was like, I don't know. It's funny, I think back to that time and I think like life was, to be honest with you, a lot easier then to balance everything than it is now. Like I feel like my days are much more full now, mm-hmm. than it was then. So I think it's just like good time management. Like I feel like most people could do it if it was something they genuinely wanted to do. I don't think there's anything too crazy, but it was busy.
No, it makes sense, because even looking back into my first year, if I actually look into the time and say, okay, you only have 15 hours of class, you actually have a lot of time to spend just studying and doing other things. So it's looking back at it for sure, you notice that you have a lot more time on your hands. It's just a matter of how you use it. And if you use it well, you can get a lot of stuff done.
No, 100%, man. Yeah, yeah. I feel like right now my days are way more packed now than they ever were when I was in school.
So. Yeah, that's true. Now, I kind of want to ask, what are some of the challenges in operating a small business? We know COVID kind of came and it affected a lot of things. But so what are some of the challenges that are affecting a small business, and how did you overcome these challenges?
Man, so I would say like you grow through like different, there's different challenges at different levels. So when you first mm-hmm. start, your challenge is just getting revenue up, right? Getting money coming in. Then once you open up, maybe you open up a store or something, then you have cash flow issues. So then you have to solve those. So each level, there's kind of different challenges. Overall, I'd say, I'm trying to think of like broad challenges. I'd say it's a lot of just building out systems. And then as you grow, those systems break and you have to build new ones.
Okay. So yeah, that makes sense.
That's like the general kind of what's going to happen. I'd mm-hmm. say if anyone's starting a business right now, the biggest thing to focus on is getting sales in. Like sales are kind of a cure-all, especially when you're small. Mm-hmm. And then just being very strategic. I'd say like measure twice, cut once is kind of my philosophy. Yeah. Do as much as you can to be strategic about your next moves, about what's kind of coming in the pipeline, and then make those decisions. You don't need to rush. Like you're probably not in a marketplace where you need to, you're probably not first to market. Like we're doing coffee. Like we didn't invent coffee. It's not like I need to be like, we need to take this national like really quick because other people might copy us.
It makes sense to take small steps and at least work your way through. And then as expansion happens, you can kind of go it naturally rather than I guess, rushing into something and then realizing that I'm in too deep.
Yeah, like the what we did was when we opened up our first store, we worked in there day and night for like a long time. And it's funny because we opened up our first store and then literally 6 months after, COVID hit.
Yeah.
So then we stayed open, obviously, and continued, which was probably like the one of the best things we ever did for our business, because people, like, we just had walk-in traffic like all throughout COVID. And while everybody else was closed, we were still open. So that allowed us to get a lot of people in the door to try the product. And then when COVID was kind of like, it wasn't over, but it was like kind of like people were settling out of it.
Yeah.
Then we were able to build out our team at Port. And then, yeah, we built out the team at Port. Literally 4 or 5 months later, we opened up the store in Grimsby. So, yeah, so it was just, it was like growth happened. And then now, then we were at two stores and we were like, we need, like, now we have, we went from like a couple, me and Carm and like my brother working in store to having like a team. So now it's like, okay, we need all these things for like employees. And
yeah,
you know, how do we make a latte and how do we do this and how do we do that? So then it was kind of systemizing those things.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then now we're just, now we're at a point where we're running two stores. I mean, online's growing. So now it's just creating more systems so that, and kind of building out the infrastructure first so that we can grow more quickly in the future, open up more stores and keep kind of growing.
That's awesome to hear. So, and now it's a perfect segue to the next question, because now we kind of got an idea of how, what 416's plans are for growth. But what are your personal long-term career goals moving forward?
So long-term, I like the industry. I like the business that I'm in right now. So I don't see myself leaving in the near future. Plan is to keep opening up locations and really grow the coffee business. You know, I'd like to be the biggest Canadian coffee brand, since there literally is none at this point.
Yeah, there is. So, there isn't. Unless you count Tim Hortons and their little packaged goods that you find at Walmart. But
yeah. Well, they got acquired by a Brazilian company, right?
So, oh, yeah, true, yeah.
So that's why I'm like, there's literally no one now that's a truly Canadian coffee brand. So
yeah,
I'd like to keep growing and be the biggest Canadian coffee brand. So that's kind of the plan. And then, yeah, entrepreneurship is crazy because it takes you on such a personal development journey. So
yeah,
just you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about what, you know, as far as like, how much you can take work-wise, kind of what levels of like self-discipline, and then yeah, just learning a bunch about all facets of business, really, as an entrepreneur, especially when you're running a small business. You got to know a little bit about accounting,
yeah,
finances. You got to figure out operations, HR, marketing, sales, right? You learn all of these pieces, and then obviously as you grow, you bring on people that are stronger than you in certain places. So yeah, man. So I'd say, yeah, next is just right now with the recession coming, the next year or so is probably just to work on our systems, work on creating a lot of efficiencies in our business and really taking it easy on growth, like stay at like two stores is fine right now, and kind of see how bad or good, you know, things are as far as like once we're in the middle of the recession, which I assume is coming Q1 or Q2 of 2023 quite aggressively. So
yeah,
the plan of attack right now is just to shore up everything, take it easy, see how things are at that point, see how we do as wartime generals, and then once that's there, then continue on a trajectory for more growth.
Perfect. I wish you all the success, and I for sure will know that you'll be successful. Last question for today is, what is your number one advice for students who are wishing to pursue an entrepreneurial pathway or wishing to pursue a business pathway in kind of the grander scheme of things?
Piece of advice. I would say like learn how to sell something and learn how to do that quickly, because a lot of times I find people will get so caught up in like an idea generation phase, whereas really just take like the minimum viable product, the MVP, take that to market as quickly as possible, and see, and you're going to learn so much more actually doing that, getting out there, actually trying to sell a product, than you are going through, you know, all kinds of research and this and that. So to get a product to market first, get something out there, start selling, develop those skills first, then you can always refine, iterate, make the product better. I think where a lot of people go wrong is they spend so much time, energy, and potentially money, if they're raising money, in product development, and they end up building a product that no one actually wants. So the other thing too, is I would say, is like, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. A lot of, I feel like students, because we grew up with a lot of tech success stories, we think we have to go and invent the next Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of times you could just have a simple idea that you tweak, you do slightly better. There could be massive economic upside, a massive business there. You don't need to necessarily reinvent the wheel. If you have an idea that reinvents the wheel, fantastic. But you don't need to necessarily reinvent the wheel. There's plenty of businesses that just did something slightly better of an old concept, and they're massively successful.
That's awesome to hear. So it really is about kind of, one, knowing the market, and two, actually getting out there and realizing what people need, rather than sitting behind a room and just kind of writing ideas down.
100%, man. Like, test and be prepared to fail and iterate and go through that process, right? Like, we've had so many kind of like micro failures where we've tested different products or tested different concepts that didn't work or worked, but then once we did the numbers on it, it was like, this is economically ridiculous. So there's so many things there, but just you're going to learn the most about running a business from being a business. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, get in there, do something, learn something. And also the other thing is, be like, I'd say patience. We also live in a culture of TikTok gurus talking about, you know, $50,000 a month from my bed. You know, I don't know, man. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. So
yeah,
that's it.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We thank you for going through your 416 coffee story, your kind of the tips and trips to success, and your own personal advice. I hope to see you be successful. Hope to see you be the largest coffee brand in Canada. And I will for sure buy myself a pack of 416 coffee now. So thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, you can contact us at brockyou.ca/discover/contact.